to the What Bitcoin Did podcast.
Hello there. Welcome to episode 6 of the What Bitcoin Did podcast. This week, though, we can actually rebrand it as What Litecoin Did, because I have just spent an hour with none other than Litecoin creator Charlie Lee, aka Satoshi Lite. I've wanted to have Charlie on the show from the very start. He is probably my favorite guy in crypto. I love everything he has done for Litecoin. I love how he is on Twitter. I love his battles with Roger Ver. I just think he's a really cool guy. And I also love the way he's a big supporter of Bitcoin too. I didn't really think I'd be able to get him on the show this early because I know how busy it is. But when he agreed, I was pretty ecstatic and couldn't wait to get over and meet him. So there's not going to be a big intro for the podcast today. I'm actually over in California recording 3 different interviews, and tomorrow morning I've got a flight out to LA, so super tight on time, and you probably just don't want to hear my boring voice over and over. But I do want to do a few thanks first. So firstly, I want to thank Jameson Lopp, who was on episode 3 of the podcast. I want to thank him for providing me with the intro to Charlie. I want to thank Charlie himself. He's obviously a really busy guy, and I can't believe he could spare some time for me for my little podcast. And I also lastly want to say thanks to my friends Julie and Cameron, who've let me stay in their beautiful house here in San Francisco and let me host my interview with Charlie here. So thanks to all those guys. Just a very quick update from my side. Mining is going well. My second batch of S9s are now hashing away alongside my A3. And it's less than 2 months till I get my Dragon Mint, so can't wait to see how they will perform. And trading is pretty good again. Things have started to settle down after the big correction from January and February. And with all the good things happening with Bitcoin and crypto, I am still very bullish. As ever, if you want to support the show, there's a bunch of things you can do to help me. Firstly, and most importantly, if you can drop us a review on iTunes, it really helps us with the rankings and gets the show exposure. Hopefully you think it deserves a 5-star review. You can follow me on social media. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Medium, and Steemit. My handle on each one is @WhatBitcoinDid. You can check out the website and read my blog, and that's on www.whatbitcoindid.com. And you can share this out with your friends on social media. And just a side note, on my flight on the way out, I did a Bitcoin giveaway on the plane. I think it's pretty cool that you can send Bitcoin from a flying chair at 37,000 feet. That was a lot of fun. And in celebration of this interview with Charlie, on my flight on the way home on Friday, I'm going to do a Litecoin giveaway too. So keep an eye on my Twitter on Friday and you will see a promotion there, which should be a lot of fun. Okay, so let's move quickly onto the interview with Charlie. I did feel massively out of my depth at times with it, but I hope you enjoy it. Any questions, please give me a shout. Okay, see you soon. Hi, Charlie. Thank you for agreeing to do this interview with me. I also need to thank Jameson Lopp for introducing us. I've been pestering you a while on Twitter, but I do appreciate you making the time to see me. When I've been doing my podcasting and asking people who they would like to have on, 2 people come up regularly. It's yourself and John McAfee.
How about Satoshi Nakamoto?
Well, he could be sat opposite me right now. I read a thing on Steemit about that, but I didn't buy it. But yeah,
I didn't buy that either.
No, I didn't. But thank you for agreeing to do this. I originally bought Litecoin back in 2013 at about $20. I don't know where that wallet is now, by the way, which is a massive disappointment. But it is something I've bought regularly. I appreciate everything you've done for the crypto community. But where do you see the role of Litecoin now in what is quite a congested market?
Litecoin is always has always been like a payments currency, a cryptocurrency that people use for everyday payments. And that's always been kind of my vision and where I see Litecoin fitting in.
And have you cashed in your Litecoin cash yet?
I don't have any Litecoin, so I didn't get any Litecoin cash.
I assumed you would have kept a small amount.
I do have a small amount, like just for spending, for testing. Nothing. I mean, yeah. So they're all on Coinbase. So Coinbase, I assume, will not support Litecoin cash anytime soon. So I don't have any Litecoin cash.
So you called it a scam?
In a sense that it is trying to piggyback off of the Litecoin brand name. So it's confusing users, and also it has a pre-mine. I don't know. I think in mine, like, is it 1% or 10%? I think it's only 1%.
I've ignored it.
But yeah, it's still 1% of a pretty big market cap. So trying to pass off as something related to Litecoin or the Litecoin Foundation or me.
Do you think that makes it therefore as big a scam as Bitcoin Cash? Because essentially they've done a very similar thing. I know there was a split in the developer community, which makes Bitcoin Cash slightly different.
I wouldn't really call Bitcoin Cash a scam. Maybe I have said that publicly before. I think people behind it, some people behind it, behind Bitcoin Cash or the movement of Bitcoin Cash might be doing it for personal reasons, for kind of pumping it or making money off of it. It might be miners that are... that want to kind of control a coin so they can make more money. And there's definitely a lot of pumping and dumping of Bitcoin Cash. But I mean, just like any other cryptocurrency. The one thing I can say about Bitcoin Cash is there wasn't a pre-mine. So that's, on that point, that's better than Litecoin Cash. So
Could you argue that they didn't need to be a pre-mine because the people doing it already owned a bunch of Bitcoin, therefore were going to get a bunch of Bitcoin Cash?
Yeah, I mean, but then... they are kind of, if someone's willing to pay money for Bitcoin Cash, which we know people are willing to pay money for Bitcoin Cash, so there's some value in that. So as people who have a lot of Bitcoin want to support Bitcoin Cash because they can create more value out of their holdings of Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. I don't see any fault in that per se.
So where do you see fault with Bitcoin Cash?
The fault I see with Bitcoin Cash is that people support it, but... wanted to claim that it is the real Bitcoin, or the fact that it follows the white paper more closely than Bitcoin, and trying to call Bitcoin under a name like Bitcoin Core just to make it seem like Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Core are on the same level. I mean, I see Bitcoin Cash as another altcoin, right? So it's doing something that pretty much most of all these other altcoins have been trying to do, which is to complement Bitcoin, to become more to be used, right, as currency. That's what Litecoin has been doing for the past 6-7 years. So for a coin to come out to say that now this coin is actually Bitcoin is just kind of scammy to me.
And the use of Bitcoin properties to promote Bitcoin.
Yeah, cash. I mean, Bitcoin is a decentralized currency, so it's not... it's confusing, definitely, when Bitcoin.com and the @Bitcoin Twitter account comes out to support Bitcoin Cash and claim that that's Bitcoin. That's definitely confusing for people. It's not unexpected. It's kind of like a brand attack. And because Bitcoin is not trademarked, there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, I'll ask you a bit more about that later on. I do want to focus more on Litecoin. You said you sold all your Litecoin, and you've made it quite clear why. And I'm going to ask you about that in a second. Personally, at first I was a bit surprised as somebody who held it, and I would have preferred it. But now I've seen the explanation, I kind of understand it. And I don't think it's like you need the money. But can you just explain so the people listening to this know why you sold your Litecoin?
So the main reason why I sold it is due to conflict of interest. And this, it's kind of hard to explain why I would have conflict of interest to own Litecoin and be the creator of Litecoin. Over the past year, I've been very active on Twitter and been kind of promoting the coin. And to some people, I'm like pumping the coin. So I definitely do have some insider news. And if I hold coins and I trade Litecoin, it kind of is a conflict, because do I want to release news that pumped the price but it's not and then trade it, or do I should I do stuff that would help the price but not be good for long term for Litecoin? So things like that bother me a little, and I decided to kind of just sell all my coins and just focus on Litecoin. Developing Litecoin and work on Litecoin adoption. Basically, the work on the long-term success of Litecoin and not worry about daily price movements.
And is the increase in regulatory lens over crypto, did that play a role in this decision?
No, not really.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I have seen previously you've shown market caps. So are you interested in the market cap for Litecoin? Is that important? Do you think price is important?
I think price is, in the end, it's not important, but it's important because it gets people to pay attention and to start using it. So when the price rises, people talk about it a lot and people actually buy in, and some percentage of those people will actually start trying to use it and see how useful Litecoin is as a form of payment, as opposed to just as a means of investing and speculating, making more money. So the price definitely helps with that. But in the end, the price doesn't affect whether or not Litecoin is a good form of payment.
I understand. So if we went back to the early days of Litecoin, when it peaked at around $50, and was it November 13? And then hit a low of $1.33 Jan 15. Was that a hard thing to go through? Or did that not affect you?
It didn't affect me that much, because I'm still working on Litecoin. It's still my project. It definitely affected a lot of user feel towards Litecoin. So when the price is low, everyone's upset. People aren't out there kind of promoting Litecoin as much. And Litecoin, just like any other decentralized currency, needs grassroots movement to kind of get people to start using it, for merchants to start accepting it.
So price is really linked to marketing?
In a sense, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Interesting. So going back, just so other people understand, how did you first get into this? How did you first discover Bitcoin? I know you've probably answered this a bunch of times, but you know, for people like me, I still don't know the origin story for you, so it'd be good to know.
Sure. Well, to start, I didn't create Bitcoin.
No, I mean, so how did you discover Bitcoin but create Litecoin?
So it was early 2011 when I read an article about Silk Road and got really excited about Bitcoin, the currency, because I previously understood the concept of good money, how gold and silver were used, and I saw Bitcoin as a better version of gold. The only difference is that it's not physical, but other than that, it has all the good properties of money, of gold, and better, because it's easier to send, it's cheaper to send, it's cheaper to store, and it's borderless. So I immediately saw the potential of Bitcoin becoming a store of value in a mean of payment.
And the reason to create Litecoin was?
For fun.
Just for fun?
Yeah, I was
insane. You created a multi-billion dollar bit of fun.
Yeah. I was experimenting with the code, and there were quite a few other altcoins before Litecoin that I saw kind of a need to create something that's better than what's out there. Most of the coins out there were created by developers that were quite greedy, so to speak. They wanted to create something, pre-mine a lot of coins, put it out there, and then pump it and make a lot of money. Not similar to all the ICOs you see today.
And your brother's in the space as well, I believe.
Yeah.
Do you two talk and discuss it a lot? Are you competitive?
No, I mean, I introduced Bitcoin to him way back in 2011, and he didn't really jump in until, I think it was 2013 or a bit later, where he co-founded the Bitcoin China exchange.
Do you disagree on things? Do you agree on SegWit2x?
We did disagree on SegWit2x. Yeah. He wanted SegWit2x to happen, and I thought it wasn't that good of an idea. So we do disagree on stuff. Yeah.
And you know, SegWit2x didn't happen. Uh-huh. Was that a surprise to you?
Was that a surprise? I didn't expect it to succeed. I thought that even if SegWit2x fork happened, the original fork would have more value, and the SegWit2x fork would eventually get would eventually lose value and not be worth anything. I did not expect it to be canceled, and the fact of how it was canceled made it seem very silly, because it was decided by like a handful of people to just cancel something that's supposed to be a decentralized currency, right? So from that, it was pretty obvious that Segwit2x did not have, was not supported by the majority of the people, because just a handful of people can just cancel it. And I also didn't expect it to have that many bugs after the fact. When we actually looked at the code, when we looked at it trying to launch, we saw how buggy it was. So didn't expect that to happen either.
And Jeff Garzik came under quite a lot of criticism for that as well.
Sure.
I think I noticed on his LinkedIn, though, he's got a recommendation for you.
Yeah. I mean, I like Jeff Garzik. Yeah. I think it's, he was the main person behind the main developer behind Segwit2x, and you can't expect one person to be able to kind of bear all the, to be able to write perfect code. So it didn't get a lot of code review. So a lot of bugs weren't caught, but it's not like he's not a bad developer per se. It's just what it is.
Did it highlight the role that Core played and the important role they played?
Sure, it does. I mean, the Bitcoin Core developers is just the top of the class. They're amazingly good developers, and we should be happy that we have such a good team of developers working on Bitcoin.
Is there a similar group of developers on Litecoin?
We do have a group of developers, but I wouldn't say they're... We're kind of piggybacking off of Bitcoin code, right? So whatever goes into Bitcoin, we get for free. And so we don't need to be world-class cryptographers. We're not... so far, we're not really pushing the boundary in terms of what Bitcoin is doing.
But also, interestingly, it seems like you seem to be the testbed for a lot of the technology. I think you've still got pinned on your Twitter, your roadmap.
Uh-huh.
And that seems to be, you positioned yourself as Litecoin as almost like a testbed for Bitcoin.
To a certain degree, we can move faster than Bitcoin. Like we've seen with Segwit, Litecoin was able to adopt Segwit before Bitcoin did. And we expect to do more of that in the future to help Bitcoin wherever we can.
I think it's kind of an interesting thing in that most people tend to work on and promote their crypto asset, whereas you appear to be a supporter of the entire, the crypto asset movement as a whole.
Sure.
And you're very supportive of Bitcoin rather than seen as a competitor.
Yeah, and I think one of the benefits of having all coins, I mean, there's a lot of people who are Bitcoin maximalists who think Bitcoin is the one coin that should rule everything, that there shouldn't be, other coins shouldn't exist because Bitcoin can do everything. And the reason why I see it where I see a role for Litecoin and all these other cryptocurrency is because it makes cryptocurrency anti-fragile, where governments can actually kill Bitcoin right now if they really wanted to.
They can?
Yeah, because they can spend, I mean, the US government, if they really wanted to, they can buy ASICs, right? They can create an ASIC farm. They could even build their own ASICs. I mean, you have enough money. You can just keep printing money to do this, right? So they could buy a lot of Bitcoin ASICs and overrun the network. It would cost them trillions of dollars, maybe. But who's counting, right?
Yeah.
So they can do it if they wanted to. But the fact is that if they did kill Bitcoin by 51% attacking it, there are all these other coins out there. They can't kill all of cryptocurrency. They can kill one specific coin. But the fact that there are others out there, or the fact that Bitcoin can pivot and change, switch to a different algorithm, makes it so that you just can't kill all of cryptocurrency.
It seems a counterproductive move.
Yeah.
It seems like the only people who've effectively killed it is the Chinese government, but almost within
their own
country,
right?
Do you see with the change in the regulatory lens from the US, which is quite supportive, obviously within a framework within the SEC, obviously that's a good thing for crypto and Bitcoin. As the world adopts and grows, do you see a potential that the Chinese government will have to change their stance on this?
I mean, they don't have to change their stance. I think I understand why they have their stance. They want to protect their citizens. So from their point of view, investing in crypto is too volatile, and especially ICOs. So if their citizens, invested all their life savings in crypto and it dropped to zero and they lost all their money, then there could be civil unrest. And that's something that they don't want to see happen. So it's better to just clamp down. Don't let people touch this volatile currency than to let people play with it.
And conversely, we now have nation state crypto, while questionable. That is quite an interesting move, though. If we ignore the, what happened in Venezuela as a bit of a disaster, the fact that we've seen Iran and Turkey and other countries are interested in this, do you think there's a potential for nation state crypto to work?
I do. I think very soon we'll have countries that would adopt crypto as their currency. I think cryptocurrency is unstoppable. It's just a matter of when before it kind of takes over.
And what is the signal of taking over? I mean, what do you have, like, a vision of the future?
I think fiat currency has always failed. Like, the US dollar is really strong today, but will it last another 50, 100 years? I think at one point it wouldn't, and we'll have, before currency was backed by gold, and I see in the future where currency would be backed by cryptocurrency.
Right, so it's like a symbiotic relationship then?
Uh-huh. I mean, there will always be fiat currency, I believe.
Right, and within that, what currencies do you believe then will survive and will be part of this? You know, because we've got so many now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I'm my favorites have always been Bitcoin and Monero, but I also hold Litecoin, I hold Dash. But amongst currencies, I can't see us having too many.
Yeah, I mean, I think there will be a handful of currencies that really act as store value and means of payment. There will be other. There'll be coins and tokens that will be used for other things, but in terms of actually storing value, it'll be a handful.
So do you see them all as a store of value and a means of payment? Because it seems like all are trying to solve the peer-to-peer payment issue. So Bitcoin scaling with Lightning Network, I believe, like Litecoin's taking Lightning Network as well.
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoin Cash, that's fundamentally what they're about. Dash has been about fast payments. I don't see it as something Monero's touching, but with privacy, I think privacy is more important than fast payment. So where's the differentiation between these currencies for the future?
I think Bitcoin, and if you look at it, the reason why it didn't adopt SegWit 2x is because it didn't want to compromise on decentralization and security for kind of throughput and low fees. Right, Bitcoin is, in my mind, always the king of crypto, where it has to be, or it is the most secure and most decentralized, which means it's a coin that cannot be censored, right? Which is important. So, and it's trading. There's a trade-off, right? So where Bitcoin is targeted towards that, Litecoin and other coins are targeted more towards lower fees and faster payments and for use for everyday payments, whereas Bitcoin would be good for sending large amounts of money because you need a security, the decentralization for that. Whereas for Litecoin, it would be good for sending smaller amounts of money.
I understand. And looking at Litecoin, one of the key differences is it does really have a leader, right, in yourself.
Yes.
Wait, I mean, you call yourself the creator, but what is your role in Litecoin? You know, I don't want to say CEO, but it does have a leader in yourself. Where do you see your role in it?
I see it more as I'm kind of trying to steer Litecoin towards my vision. So I did create it, and I'm also working on it full-time now, and I'm helping it succeed, helping achieve mass adoption. And that's what I'm trying to do.
And do you think that's something Bitcoin has lacked? Or did it not matter?
It's plus and minus, right? So the fact that I am the leader, I'm leading the Litecoin project, means that Litecoin is more centralized. So it's good because we can move faster, we can make decisions faster, I can rally the community around my vision. So if there's like a fork or anything, then it's easy for someone to say, hey, Charlie, the creator that supports this versus other things. Whereas with Bitcoin, you can't really do that. Like both sides, for example, the Bitcoin Cash and the Bitcoin side, think that they're the real Bitcoin. And then the Bitcoin Cash says, well, we follow Satoshi's vision, which is something that you can't really argue once people start talking about Satoshi's vision.
But Satoshi's vision? Well, doesn't Litecoin follow Satoshi's vision?
Litecoin follows Satoshi Lite's vision.
Satoshi Lite's vision. But so one of the things I think hasn't helped Bitcoin is it hasn't had a leader to fight back against the leadership in Bitcoin Cash.
Correct.
And that's one of the things that I've felt is a shame. But the position of
having a leader also makes it easier to take down.
True.
Right. So Bitcoin, like someone can really take down Litecoin by targeting me, right? By throwing me in jail or just making me look bad, right? Creating fake stories about me.
Has any of that happened?
No, not yet. At least not that I know of.
I think everyone just likes you, though.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Well, but maybe not Roger Ver, but...
So that's the good part about Bitcoin, where you can't really attack Bitcoin because it's decentralized, right? It's a decentralized currency. No one controls it. So I think that's the good part. And the bad part is it's inefficient and it can get attacked and there's no one to stand up and defend Bitcoin.
So what happens to Litecoin if you are put in jail?
I think it'll be fine. I think I want to make Litecoin, eventually Litecoin cannot depend on me, right? So selling my coins is like the first step towards that, where I can't sell it anymore, right? I can't cause a price to crash. But I didn't cause the price to crash. I didn't have that many coins to start with. But like that's one thing people criticize Bitcoin is because people believe Satoshi has 1 million Bitcoins. And if he actually decides to sell all of it, it could crash the market. So selling my coins was first part of it. Eventually, if Litecoin does like succeed and becomes used like worldwide, I have to kind of step away, right? I have to let the community take over and work on Litecoin and not be kind of a centralizing figure.
How does that actually happen, though?
I don't know yet.
So is there no succession plan? Say you were to disappear one day.
I don't want a succession plan, right? It's not like I'm passing the reins to someone else. It's more like it needs to not have a leader.
But when does that happen? I mean, it's very hard. I've heard you talk about when Litecoin is a success, but isn't it already really a success?
It is a success, but I'm talking
What did
more
you mean
like,
by that?
It's hard to pinpoint exactly when, but it's more like if the majority of people actually start using Litecoin and stores are really accepting Litecoin, it's really used as a payment, then it has succeeded.
And how do you think, how did we get to that point? I told you I was with Laura earlier, and Laura made the point that it's quite easy now when you're in a shop or online to just pay with your debit card.
Correct.
It's a very easy process. Whereas with paying with crypto, it's slightly harder.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to buy things when I bought my mining gear from Bitmain, despite the fact I had to use Bitcoin Cash, spending a significant amount of money on 50 machines, that was a very good process because it was 10 minutes, $3 fee or something ridiculous.
Yep.
But on smaller transactions, how do we get people to use crypto, or why would they use crypto instead of fiat?
So I mean, the U.S. using credit card is so much easier today, and that's why cryptocurrency hasn't really taken off as a form of payment yet. I think the reason why people would want to use cryptocurrency for payment is because of there's no fraud, right? There's no lower fees. So right now the fees are seen by the merchant and not passed on to the user. So, I mean, Visa was really smart. Visa, MasterCard, they were really smart the way they kind of pushed it out, where users actually get a cash back. They get a kickback from using credit cards. They don't see the fees, but the whatever they're buying actually costs more. It's just not. It's just hidden from them because the merchant is paying 3% to Visa, MasterCard, and then the Visa, MasterCard kicks back like up to 2% to the user, and they pocket 1%, something like that, right? So they're pretty smart about the way they're doing it. And it's hard for people to realize the benefit of crypto. But with cryptocurrency, when you're paying with Bitcoin or Litecoin, you're not giving away anything that's sensitive. You don't need to give out your credit card number. You don't need to give out your zip code or social security or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing for the merchants to lose. So right now, merchants are paying a lot of money to secure like your cards and to make sure their database is not hacked. But if we switch to crypto payments, then there's no risk of that happening.
So there's a big incentive for the merchants too.
There is, and they don't have to pay the 3% fees to Visa or MasterCard. So yeah, there's definitely it's definitely win-win, but it's just not easily seen by the end user today.
So a potential game changer on that is, I don't know what it's like out here, but in the UK, when you're booking a flight, if you play with debit card, you have essentially no fee. If you pay with a credit card, it's a higher fee. So if you were on, let's just use Amazon as an example, price for laptop is X if you pay with debit, but price is X if you play with Litecoin. If you could see that you're paying a lower price.
Yeah, so people would use it. So like, I think, yeah, in the end, people would say if you pay with cryptocurrency, it's 3% off because that's how much they're paying to Visa if you're using a Visa card. And then people would use it more. Right. So we haven't seen that happen yet. I expect to see that in the future. Merchants right now still see cryptocurrency as more of a PR move to accept it. They haven't really seen the benefit of, I mean, some have, but we haven't gotten to have the adoption's not there yet. And that's what we're working towards.
Were you at Coinbase when they did their first merchant tools?
Uh-huh, yes.
Because they stopped it for a while, and then they now have a new one.
Uh-huh. I'm not sure if they actually... They stopped promoting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and their new one's pretty good. Their new one is you control your own coins, your own keys.
Right.
Yeah.
And Litecoin is included within their new one?
Yes, it is.
So where does Litepay, did that go live yesterday?
They did go live in terms of merchant signups. Their plans for the debit card was pushed back.
Is that because of Visa being difficult?
I would assume so. Visa has been pretty openly hostile towards cryptocurrency, and I guess for good reasons. Mm. So it's kind of hard to get a deal done with Visa. I'm sure there are issues, and I'm guessing they worked to the last minute and they just couldn't work around these issues.
But that's across all banking, really. I mean, yeah. I'm a miner. Uh-huh. And I've tried to register a business to process my mining costs and my fees and to pay. I can't get a bank account in the UK because of cryptocurrency. I've tried three banks. Every bank is rejected.
You have to find a bank that is willing to take the risk of dealing with cryptocurrency. And previously, everyone was using the same bank for their Visa cards. I forgot what the name was.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. Oh, I think it was Wavecrest.
Yes.
And they stopped supporting crypto cards because of Visa switchback. So I'm not sure which bank Litepay was talking to, but I assume they got the same pushback and they're trying to find other solutions. And it's just hard.
What do you think the risk is? I mean, is it really a risk or is it just a way of fighting?
The risk for who?
For the banks. You know, they said they don't want the risk, but, you know, the banks I spoke to said it's, you know, we can't prove where the funds have come from.
Yeah, you know. So there's regulatory risk where the government can remove the FDIC insurance for banks if they did anything bad. So if you can't prove the funds are not from money laundering, then the banks get in trouble with the federal government.
How is that different from fiat, though? If I put £1,000 or $1,000 in the bank,
it's easier to trust. Well, if you're depositing cash, there's a limit before they start asking you where the money is coming from,
right? Of course.
But it's easier to track fiat. right, if it's moving between banks. So it's easier to do AML, KYC with fiat than it is to do with crypto. So there is definitely a risk for banks to work with crypto. And then there's also the issue with Visa, right? So I assume Visa could punish banks if they decide to stop working with the bank.
It feels like as crypto expands and improves, that the banks become more against it. And it feels like it is more of a threat. I mean, for example, mining, the coins I'm mining essentially are fresh coins.
Mm-hmm.
I can prove that they've not been from money laundering because they've come from fresh coins, but I'm still rejected by the banks. So it just feels like, I don't know.
Oh, they don't understand it, right? So well, yeah, you can, I mean, you can prove to them, but they're like, they don't really care. They'd rather not touch it. So most banks.
So getting back to LitePay, is there a reason for a merchant to have LitePay and the Coinbase solution?
No, I mean, they're different, right? So they're both merchant processing. So the merchants can choose one or the other to help them process Litecoin payments and convert it to fiat if they need to.
And are you seeing much interest
from
merchants wanting to adopt Litecoin?
There's definitely a lot of inbound interest from merchants that want to adopt Litecoin. I've received tons of people asking for help for that, and that's definitely a good sign.
I know, you know, from the community I'm in, the thing people most want to use crypto for are booking flights and hotels.
Is that right?
Yeah, it seems to be. I don't know. Well, I make an assumption of why they want to use crypto for that, but that's where I've seen it. So LitePay will be going live about when?
They've already gone live in terms of signing up merchants.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly when a merchant will actually start accepting Litecoin via LitePay yet. Okay. I assume pretty soon. But LitePay is just one of many merchant processors like you talked about. There's Coinbase Commerce and there's Align Payment. There's LitePal is also coming out with a solution. So there are many.
LitePal?
Yeah.
Is that anything to do with PayPal?
No.
So they're going to be in trouble.
You think so?
I would think that's a brand issue.
Really?
Yeah.
Just the fact that it's called something PAL?
Yeah, I assumed it was them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when you said that.
I don't see why it would be an issue.
Mm. Well, we'll see. So you put out a tweet recently. Everyone loves your Twitter and follows it. And you put four things on there. We've just talked about one. There's a popular online wallet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming you can't talk to me about that.
No. Okay. I can't talk to you about anything that I haven't announced publicly yet.
So, I'm more excited about a goods trading platform. I think that sounds really interesting. And then everybody obviously will want to, you know, a couple of friends and I'm here and they're like, ask Charlie to tell you what the huge unexpected surprise is. I was like, I guarantee he won't tell me. But there's lots happening, right?
There is. I mean, I put out this tweet in December. So we've been working hard on working with all these companies to support Litecoin in one way or another. So there's always stuff going on. And people keep asking, I mean, I guess that tweet was, I asked for it by posting that.
Yeah.
But in the end, I'm not the one that's going to be announcing something, right? So it's these companies that are supporting Litecoin. It's up to them to decide when they want to announce that, yes, they've added Litecoin support. It could take some time. It could be tomorrow. It could be in a few months. But we'll see more and more companies adopting Litecoin. And there's actually more companies than these three other ones that I haven't that haven't been announced yet. There's more exchanges that are going to support Litecoin, more merchant processors, and more merchants and people using Litecoin in various different ways.
Litecoin seems to, and you have to take credit for this. Seems to have a positive community around it, not really a negative community, whereas Bitcoin has people who love it, hate it. Bitcoin Cash has people who love it and hate it. How do you think you've managed that?
I mean, we've had haters also.
Of course, I mean, yeah, everyone has haters, but as a percentage-wise, it's kind of like very few compared to the other. You know, I rarely see Litecoin detractors.
Yeah, I guess that's good. Yeah. Why do I see that?
Probably a tough question to answer.
It is. Yeah. I actually don't know. I mean, I think me being kind of the central figure around Litecoin helps a bit, where people can rally around my vision, and people who support Litecoin do.
And the flappening.
Yeah.
That would be a big moment.
When Litecoin's market cap overtakes Bitcoin Cash's market cap.
Yeah.
I'm working towards that.
You know what? It seems a realistic goal. And actually, in some ways, they had a head start on you when at the point they hit the market. So it seems more of a you've earned it, as opposed to having forked it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think when Bitcoin Gold forked, it had like at one point a higher market cap than Litecoin also.
6 billion, wasn't it?
Yeah. So Litecoin, it's been many years since we started. So I'm very proud of that. That's been around for, what is it? Like 7 years, almost 6.5 years. And that's more than a lot of all these other coins. And the fact that Litecoin is still kind of up there in terms of market cap is amazing, because I've seen the ups and downs of all these other coins that have gone by the wayside, and it's not easy to kind of stay in near the top.
So what was last year like then? Obviously, you know, I bought back in, I think, around $4, and there were the Coinbase rumors, the Segwit 2x rumors. There were various rumors coming out, and it just exploded and had an amazing year. And whilst you say price is important, but you understand it towards marketing, it did bring exposure. So what was last year like for you?
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, in 2016, let me try to remember. Yeah, mid-2016, I decided to go part-time at Coinbase to start focusing my time on Litecoin. I realized the role that Litecoin and I could play in the whole cryptocurrency space, which was to kind of help Bitcoin get past this scaling debate. I saw a lot of people FUDing Segwit, and saw Segwit's adoption stall on Bitcoin, and I realized that Litecoin could actually get Segwit through, because of I could influence that, make that happen, and to show that Segwit is nothing to be feared of, and it's actually something that would help Bitcoin. So that's what I did. So we worked on adding Segwit to Litecoin, and then pushing that out and convincing miners to adopt Segwit. And it wasn't easy. I mean, most of the Litecoin miners were also mining Bitcoin, and there's this issue where they were afraid of upsetting Bitmain, and they didn't want to support Segwit because then they don't have a reason to not support Segwit on Bitcoin. But then when people started signaling Segwit on Litecoin, the price shot up. So people can clearly see that the market wants Segwit on Litecoin. And eventually, slowly but surely, miners started to signal for Segwit on Litecoin, and the price kept going up, and then finally it activated. Took a lot of work. Unfortunately, I didn't expect it to take a lot of work from my part. And then it activated. The price went up,
and then up.
So that's great. And then Coinbase added Litecoin. So because of the Segwit on Litecoin, the price went up, trading volume went up, especially on GDAX. And that's when I told Coinbase, hey, we can actually it would make sense now to support Litecoin on Coinbase because there's demand for it. And frankly speaking, Coinbase would make a lot more money by supporting Litecoin, and convinced them, and they did add Litecoin, and the rest is history.
So what's your life like now? Is it very different now?
It's nice to not have to work for someone.
Yeah.
So I work on Litecoin, work on what I'm passionate about, and it's also nice to not to work at home.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know that. It's doing this, and I get to travel with it as well. But you know, obviously, really appreciating you filling the time to do this. I notice you do a lot of podcasts, and you make time for the community, which is obviously great. So I've also seen. Let's go back. You mentioned Bitmain. Uh-huh. You mentioned. Do you think they have an unhealthy position in the market, or do you actually think it's a good thing because they have obviously grown mining and grown adoption? Are they as big a threat as people say they are? Do you have a view on this?
I do. I think it's a bit unhealthy for one ASIC manufacturer to have a dominating position. And this is all secondhand, but I've heard that they've used that dominating market share to actually hurt the competition and to do things that are kind of not cool. I don't think that's good to have. It's better for mining to be more decentralized in terms of security, right? The fact that it's centralized means that the Chinese government can come and say, Bitmain, you have to do this, right? Or you have to do that. And I mean, maybe they've already done that. We don't know. Mm. But if Binance were more decentralized, then it's harder for anyone to control it.
But you've met Jihan, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are his motives?
I don't know what his motives are. I mean, he's a nice guy. I've met him quite a few times, talked to him a lot.
Yeah, because I don't actually personally see them as a threat in that why would they destroy their own, you know, the business that pays
they're
them?
Not.
But
they're
I
not.
Understand the Chinese government point.
Yeah, I mean, they're not trying to destroy Bitcoin. They just want to make more money. But they could be doing something that makes them more money but hurts Bitcoin.
I did notice, I always forget the name. I can't pronounce it. The Inner Silicon?
Yeah.
You've got, so do you mine yourself for fun?
Yeah, I do have. I have a. So Inner Silicon gave me an A4. They've also given me one of their newer machines, and I also got a miner from Bitmain.
Okay.
So all the mine coins are donated to Litecoin Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool mining Litecoin.
But do you say with Heilong? So we've got coming out. Uh-huh. I don't know how much you know about them. I've ordered some Dragon Mints.
Cool.
Fingers crossed they're going to be cool. Do you know if they've got any plans to do any Litecoin miners?
I don't know. I think Litecoin mining is pretty cool because we have two companies at least that's on par.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not one dominating company. So I'm happy to see Heilong Mining doing... kind of coming up, and there's a few more mining ASIC miners that are popping up.
Well, some of the big companies are looking to get into
yeah,
it, right?
So that's good. I don't see, recently I saw a post by Cobra, like one of the maintainers of Bitcoin.org, that says we should do a proof of work change.
Yeah, I saw that. There was a lot of, nobody really accepted it, right?
No, I don't think so. I think that's a bit crazy. I mean, it's not at a point where we need to do that yet.
Well, all that will do is create another altcoin, right? Because
very likely
all the ASICs will carry on mining the old one.
Yeah, I think that's the community is not set on doing that. I think it's just one person or a handful of people don't want to do that.
What do you think of proof of stake?
I think there's definitely room for a proof of stake coin. I think it's a different security. It's a different security than proof of work. And I'm glad that a coin like Ethereum is going to try to test it out.
Yeah.
I'm always concerned that proof of stake is... there's an issue with proof of stake because kind of, there's no such thing as a free lunch, right? With proof of work, the security comes from the amount of work you put in. With proof of stake, it's unclear... where the attack vector is different, so it's unclear that it's as secure as proof of work.
I guess so. Okay, so something else I want to ask you about. You've been talking quite a bit with Fluffy Pony, talking about working more closely with Monero. That's the only coin I've never sold, actually.
Never sold. Not even for drugs.
Well, not even for drugs. No. and as a trader. Yeah, I'm a trader and I trade everything in and out. It's the only one I've never sold. I've sold.
How come?
Am I telling you? Two reasons. Firstly, very stable price growth. Of every coin I have, it's the most. When I look at both the dollar and the Bitcoin chart, it's got very stable price growth. It doesn't it doesn't appear to speculate as much, which is also good.
I think Buffy Pony has a lot to do with that.
Yeah, he's kind of cool. I'm hopefully going to be going to South Africa to interview him as well. But the other reason was there was a time when I went to try and sell everything just before China banned, and I couldn't. I had to upgrade my Litecoin, Monero desktop wallet, and it was getting stuck on a block, and I'm not technical, so there was some command line things I had to. Anyway, I couldn't do it, so I didn't sell at that.
So the crappiness of the wallet preventing you from selling.
And I think that was a gift from the crypto gods. But since then, I've never sold it. So when people talk about holding and accumulating Bitcoin, I'm the same with Monero.
Cool.
So I think it's a really interesting relationship. What does it mean? Like, what does it mean for Litecoin? What does it mean for Monero?
You're talking about like the atomic swap thing I suggested.
Well, there's two things. So I saw the atomic swap, but also the alliances working together. Was that real? A real thing?
No. So we're not like we haven't worked together.
But so I couldn't work out there was a merger between them. Monero. I couldn't work out that was a joke.
That's unfortunate. That was a joke. So the coins aren't merging.
No, I didn't mean the coins. I thought the alliances may be working together to achieve goals together.
I hope to see that happen. We haven't started really working on anything yet. The idea behind the proposal was that I think we could have a very good synergetic relationship between Litecoin and Monero, because Litecoin is very liquid. It's on practically all the exchanges, so you can easily exchange between fiat and Litecoin. And Monero is not, and for reasons that people understand, because people are afraid of, for KYC AML stuff, people are afraid to,
it will never be
afraid
on
Coinbase. To accept Monero.
Yeah.
To support Monero. So if we have something like a website, if we work together to make it easy for people, like dead simple for people to atomic swap between Litecoin and Monero, then it will be very easy for you to go to bridge the two worlds, where there's the privacy world and then there's the regular world, and Litecoin and Monero can act as a bridge between the two.
So I'd say about 90% of people that I speak to, cryptocurrency is very confusing. You know,
sure.
I mean, I'm trying to consume as much knowledge as I can, and I don't know a lot, but I'm doing my best. What are atomic swaps for the normal man on the street? Explain an atomic swap.
The basic idea is that two people can swap their coins at a value that they decide, at a exchange value that they decide to swap the coins, without a third party. So online, right? So if I met someone online, I want to sell whatever, one Litecoin for one Monero, I can do that with someone in an atomic way. Atomic meaning that it either happens or it doesn't.
Right.
There's no like in between where you got my Monero and I didn't get your Litecoin, or vice versa.
But how's the technology for that being developed?
The technology already exists.
Right.
I've done atomic swap between Litecoin and Decred, Litecoin and Bitcoin.
Okay.
Monero doesn't have that capability yet, so that's something on their end that they would need to add. It might require a hard fork for Monero, but that's something that hard forks are pretty simple on Monero. But once they have that capability, then it should be pretty simple to do atomic swap between Litecoin and Monero.
Okay. I'm conscious of time. We're nearing a limit. A few last things I just want to ask you. We'll finish on Litecoin. Just any wider thoughts on the market? It's, you know, we've obviously had a huge amount of growth last year. Mm-hmm. It is a price speculative market. But any other thoughts on the market in terms of things that you think are needed to improve and increase the growth of crypto?
Sure, a few things. So last year, near the end of the year, I made a tweet about how the price could drop 90% and go into a bear market, so people should be careful. And this is something that's always been, always I've always noticed is that Bitcoin and Litecoin goes on a tear, right? A 110x, 20x, 100x increase within a year, time span of a year, and then everybody starts hearing about it and they buy in. And a lot of people actually buy in at the top, mm-hmm. right? At the near term top. And then the price proceeds to drop like 90%. We've seen that happen with Litecoin and Bitcoin. And people spend too much money that they can't afford to lose buying in, and they're forced to sell at the low or near the low. And then those are the people that got hurt, right? Mm-hmm. So my point was, if you can't withstand a 90% drop in your portfolio value, don't buy.
Mm-hmm. That was a very un-Charlie Lee tweet.
Was it? People think I FUD Litecoin all the time. So this is one of the tweets where I want people to be careful.
Yeah,
they shouldn't buy stuff that they can't afford to lose, but with coins, with money they can't afford to lose. I mean, you hear people taking a mortgage out of their house to buy crypto, which is, they could get lucky and make a lot of money, but a lot of people will actually lose a lot of money, and that's unfortunate. So,
I just wrote an article on my blog because I have a community, and I spoke to a lady in New Zealand, two kids. They put all their investments in 100,000 into crypto, bad ICOs, bad investments, and they're down to 20,000 now. Yeah. It's awful.
Yeah, it is. I mean, also you hear people putting all their money in BitConnect.
Oh, right? God,
that's even worse than investing in crypto. That's investing in a Ponzi scheme.
So that is a Ponzi scheme, right?
Yes, I believe so.
So what do you think about things like CoinMarketCap and adverts for them?
I mean,
it doesn't help.
It doesn't help, but I mean, it's hard for CoinMarketCap to decide what's a Ponzi scheme, what's not, right? So if someone's willing to pay for an ad, then they show an ad. People have to make money, right? I don't like ICOs. I think most of them are scams. I hope that we root out all the bad ICOs and I actually want regulation to come and stop all these ICOs and to put more kind of rules in place.
So is it really you don't like bad ICOs?
I think ICOs in general are bad because they create the wrong incentive structure.
Right.
So even with projects that intend to do well, once they get the money, they don't have the incentives to continue to develop the project. I mean, once you get like $110 million, $100 million, why do you care about your project? You already won.
Well, I guess it's the same problems that happened in the first era of .com, right?
Yeah.
Raising too much money.
Yeah.
Going on private jets.
Yeah, throwing big boat parties.
Yeah, when there was no money and you had to develop I mean, in some ways, Litecoin, right? I guess you had to self-invest in that a bit? Certainly time.
Yeah, definitely time. Like all the Litecoins that I had were mined or bought by myself. I didn't pre-mine any. People are complaining like that I hurt Litecoin by selling all my Litecoin, but I mean, I invest in Litecoin just like anyone else. It's not like some of these other coins where the creator actually printed like maybe even $1 billion worth of coins and they're sitting there, they can sell and hurt the market. I didn't do that. I mean, I just have a little bit that I own because I bought and mined and I believed in Litecoin more than others.
So ICO regulation is a good thing?
I think so. There's too much money right now. Too many scams. It's hard to just figure out what's good and what's bad. Everybody has a white paper.
Yeah.
The better, the longer, the more wordy the white paper is, probably the worse the project is.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I've worked in startups. It's usually just sitting down and making something. It's not mm-hmm. writing, getting on with it. Okay, cool. Look, Charlie, obviously you're a really busy guy. I'm fitting this in. I really do appreciate it. Just a final question to close out. What's the future for you, future for Litecoin? Any messages you want to give out to people? Anything, final words?
I'm still working harder than any time in my life on Litecoin. So even though I sold all my Litecoins, I'm still invested. I think I'm more invested in Litecoin than anyone else because it's my project. I want it to succeed more than anyone else. And sadly, I pay more attention to price today than I did before because I actually want the price to go up more than I ever wanted to, because I don't want people to think that I sold at the high. So yeah. I'd love for the price to be higher, much higher than when I sold it at.
But the Bitcoin price is higher. Well, it was. You got a new all-time high on the Bitcoin price.
Sure, yes. Litecoin over Bitcoin is high.
Yeah.
It's higher than when I sold it. And in terms of dollar price, it's still like 50% lower than when I sold the final stash of my coins. So I'd like to see that go higher, and I'm working towards that.
Brilliant. Charlie, look, I really appreciate this. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks, Pete.
So I hope you all enjoyed listening to Charlie. I just loved it. That was really enjoyable. He's a really humble guy, and I've got to say, I was pretty nervous, but he made me feel really calm. He's probably not used to such simple questions as mine. You know, he is a techie as well. Still, I found it absolutely fascinating to talk to him. His huge belief in crypto is really reassuring for me. And, you know, what a cool guy. He's done so much for Bitcoin, Litecoin, and the crypto community, and I think that needs celebrating. So I hope you enjoyed it. As ever, as I mentioned before, please do support the show. A review on iTunes really does help. And get in touch on Twitter, Facebook, email, any way you want. If you've got any questions, if I can answer them, I will do my best. Okay, have a good trading week, and I look forward to seeing you all soon. Thanks.